It is a pleasure and an honor to be here today, and I'm very grateful for what God is doing in this place. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. How many of you fellas are 17 years old? Would you stand? Anyone in here 17? No one 17? All right. Anyone 18? 19? 19, stand up. All right. Now, between his age and your age, you can be seated, but between his age and your age, I would find myself in the morning getting out of bed, I'd find myself laying in my own vomit. I was a drunkard by the time I was 18 years old. And I didn't get saved till I was 27. And I went to jail first time when I was 13 years old. My last day in high school, I was escorted from the high school for choking the principal. I was not voted the most likely to succeed. But God can do anything with anyone if he can get a hold of your heart. And there is so much potential sitting in this room. I remembered last night, when Betty and I was talking this morning, I said there was something that had happened, was in your paper inside your bulletin yesterday morning for Sunday school. But it was telling about McDonald's has agreed to put a gender-free toys. They're not going to ask if you want a boy's toy or a girl's toy. They're going to have toys that are good for both. And McDonald's agreed to do this because one man turned the McDonald's Corporation into, it scared him to death. One man turned McDonald's around. So now that is lining up with sodomites. Now, for those of you, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Today we call them gay. They're not gay. They are sodomites. God called them sodomites, and you know they want to be called gay. They're not gay. You're not. I got on an airplane one time, and this guy introduced himself and said, "Where do you live?" I said, "I live in Alaska." He said, "What do you do there?" I said, "I pastor a church." He said, "Could I ask you something? I've always wanted to ask a pastor." I said, "Sure." He said, "I'm gay. Would you mind telling me what you think about gay people?" I said, "Oh, I'd love to." And I said, "I'm gay." And he said, "You're gay?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm gay and you're a sodomite." He said, "What is a sodomite?" So we went back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I said, "You know, according to Romans chapter 1, you're worthy of death. And God is going to give you over to a reprobate mind." Evidently, he hasn't yet, or you wouldn't have asked me this question. But I said, "You know truth now. And you reject the truth of God's word now. God will turn you over to a reprobate mind." I explained to him how to be saved, and he said, "Well, let's just leave it at that." We were landing. We took off. I got to start preaching. We're landing. He said, "Let's leave it at that." So I want to preach this morning. Turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 6. On divine appointments. Now, I need to be done by 10 to 11, is that right? 10 minutes to 11, and right now I've got 20 minutes after 8. So we've got lots of time. What time is it here? I'm getting confused now. What time do you have? Huh? 11:20. And I got to be done what time? 11:50. All right. You want to wave at me? All right, so now if we go over, and it's this young man in the fine-looking suit here. But divine appointments. Now you are young. You have got a lot of divine appointments ahead of you. There's some of us that are older. We all have divine appointments. In 1 Samuel chapter 6, we're not going to read this whole thing, but we'll start reading here in verse 7. The Bible says, "Now therefore make a new cart and take two milk kine, on which there had come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring the calves, their calves, home from them. Now, they're fixing to have a problem here. You don't take two milk cows that have never pulled a wagon. You don't take two anythings, never pulled a wagon, hook them to a cart and take off. They've got to be trained. Now, these cows, these milk cows, also have calves. They're going to take the calves home. Now, a cow with a calf, we have a lot of moose in Alaska. I had to shoot about an 8-foot grizzly a couple years ago, came into our family camp. The only thing worse than a grizzly is if you get between a cow and a calf moose. That cow moose will kill you. But the cow will go after the calf. So anyway, they take them, and it says in verse 8, take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart and put the jewels of gold which ye return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go, and see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Bethshemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us, it was a chance that happened to us. And the men did so and took the two milk kine and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home and turned them loose. Now, the Philistines have taken the Ark of God, and they're in a big hurry now to get rid of it. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1, and the Philistines took the Ark of God, brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod, where the Philistines took the Ark of God. They brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, beheld Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord, and they took Dagon and set him up in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Dagon was this special idol of the city of Ashdod. Dagon was the fish god. It had a head and chest like a man, arms like a man, but its body was like the tail of a fish. It resembled what people would know today as a man-made mermaid type creature. We were in an antique store here just a while back in Alaska, and they had these little antique things, and they had these little mermaid things. I looked, and I thought, they're not mermaids. There's the face of a man on these mermaid, what I would call a mermaid. But verse number 6, but the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emrods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. So the Philistines want to get rid of this thing. They send it to Gath, send it to Ekron, and the same curse keeps coming back. Listen, you don't play with God. You may think you can handle God. That doesn't happen. Deuteronomy 28:15 says, but it shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And then he makes a list. The Lord will smite thee with the blotch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. I just think, man. So that's what's happening to these Philistines now. And they are in a big hurry to get rid of this thing. They are out of the will of God, and God's got his curse on them, and they want to get rid of it. And everywhere they send it, everywhere they take it, every city they move it to get rid of it, the same curse comes on them. So here in 1 Samuel 6:8, they took the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which ye returned unto him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away, that it may go, and see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us, it was a chance that happened to us. And they did as they were instructed. Only before they let them go, before they hooked these two milk cows to this cart, with no one leading, guiding, before they turned them loose, they took the calves, put them in the barn. They said, now turn them loose. And if they go up there, and we'll watch if they go, we'll know that God's wrath is on us. But if not, you know, if they turn around and go looking for their calves, or maybe they just take off wild and destroy the cart, and then we'll know it was just by chance that this happened on us. Verse 12 says, and the kine took the straight way to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lawing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. They knew they had just experienced a divine appointment with God's wrath. You ever do something out of the will of God and God struck you? And you knew, I just experienced a divine appointment with God's wrath. Now listen, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. You are a child of God. The same way that a dad takes his son to the woodshed for punishment, that's not time out. You go to the woodshed, there's a purpose in a woodshed. And some of you are trying to figure out what a woodshed is. It took him out there and beat him with a rod. Well, God will do the same with us when we step out of his will. And you will know when you have experienced a divine appointment with God's wrath. Listen, we all have divine appointments in our life. Have you ever had a very close call with death? Maybe you started to cross the street, and as you stepped out, you realized there's something coming. You jump back just as a truck goes by. Or John Lowe, senior in our church, was just here a few weeks ago. His brother, his wife, and two other people, friends of theirs, was riding motorcycles, and all of a sudden, a car was knocked in front of him, hit him, and Paul Lowe's wife and these two people were just taken. Now, that was a divine appointment with death. That was a divine appointment for Paul Lowe, Sr. It wasn't his time. God spared him. But we all have divine appointments in our life. We all have a divine appointment with death. It's appointed unto men once to die. You will not be late for that appointment. We've got a gospel, one of the gospel tracts of the vet says, message from Levi. Levi and Haley what? Levi was 4 years old, Haley was 5 months. I think it was the 22nd, 2011, they had a divine appointment. They were going to meet God. They were going to be taken to heaven. And they were in a car wreck that day and killed them both. Haley died at the wreck and Levi was pronounced dead that night. So don't dismiss these things. Maybe you fell off a ladder and you think, one of the men was telling us this morning that his little boy in the boy's dorm, there was one of the posts between the railing there was gone and his little boy walked right through it and fell down the stairwell. Didn't hurt him, but that was a divine appointment. It wasn't God's will. I mean, he could have broke his neck, but it wasn't time, so God takes care of him. So we all have these experiences in life. Don't dismiss these things as it was by chance. And listen, God has a special assignment for you. That's the little boy that fell down the stairs over there. God has a special assignment for that little guy, something for him to do. Now, he may not live to be a grown man. Levi lived to be 4 years old. But since Levi died, Levi has won so many people to Christ with his testimony, with his life, the life of a four-year-old, and just a lot of folks are getting saved. There's a lot of things going to happen in your life, a lot of things in front of you. You're young, you got many years, unless that divine appointment comes at an early age. But a lot of divine appointments. So don't just dismiss this as just by chance. I didn't break my neck when I fell off the ladder. Divine appointments. You have divine appointments ahead of you that no one else can fulfill. In John 15:16, the Bible says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." God has a tailor-made plan for your life. I look out here this morning and I see, oh, there's Dustin. Hey, Dustin. And Daniel, and I see young ladies sitting beside him. And because there's nowhere else to sit, evidently. just happened to work out that way. Hey, how you doing, Brother Smith? Is that young lady you were talking about? Listen, there's divine appointments, dates being set. And you have a tailor-made person for your life, young man and young lady. There's one boy, one young man that's for you, one young girl that's for you. And they are tailor-made. God has a will for your life. Now, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. God just, he's asking you to just believe him, trust him. And Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So divine appointments. God has a unique plan for each life. I had no idea what God had in store for me as I was growing up. No one thought I wouldn't get out of my teenage years no one thought I'd get out of grade school without going to Prinitown. Prinitown was the reform school for boys. They figured I would end up there. But I made it to grade school, and now everyone knows I'm heading toward Moundsville. Moundsville is the state penitentiary. And I just wasn't the most likely kid to succeed. My wife, I was dating her when I was in high school. Her teachers would tell her, "You stay away from Stan Roach. He's bad. He's bad news. Stay away from him." But, you know, she saw the good in me. Psalm 138, verse 8 says, The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith." We have a divine appointment to reach our own generation. Now, I was being destroyed with my generation until I met Jesus. I became a new creature in Christ. I was heading to the left. I met Christ. I turned around. Now I'm heading to the right. I was a life full of sin. Now I'm trying to live a righteous life. I mean, I was a drunkard. Now I'm trying to stop people from entering into that lifestyle. I mean, everything about me changed. But we have a divine appointment, and you have a divine appointment to reach your own generation. And God wants us to seize the opportunities that he gives us to do that. Don't put it off as someone asks you if you would speak at a nursing home. I got to go to a birthday party, or I can't do it. I can't. Don't put that off as just some little. There may be someone getting ready to go out and meet God. There may be some young person, and you know, a lot of young people end up in nursing homes anymore. Seize your destiny. Which God has for you. God has ordained from the foundation of the world that you and I should live during this time. Now, we're living in a very exciting time. I believe the rapture is getting ready to happen. And I don't think we got a lot of time. I just don't think we got a lot of time. My grandson, Remington, came to me. He was 10 years old, and he said, "Papa," he said, could I start a ministry in our church? He said, I know I'm only 10, but he said, I think Jesus is going to come before I'm a man. So he started the Kids for Christ in our church. And the Kids for Christ, it was now known as the KFC. And they'd get birthday cards, but they have a service every Sunday between our services. And Remington, we had two of the little boys would preach, and one of them leads singing. They set the girls over here and the boys over here, and they have this little service. Well, I was praying about buying a Mustang for the ministry, and Remington came and said, Papa, he said, we had a meeting, we took a vote today, and we're going to help you buy the Mustang. I said, well, thank you, Remington. Well, every service after that, at my office door, I'd go over and open the door, and there'd be some little kid here, I got this for the Mustang. And there's pennies, nickels, dimes, a dollar, $2. Grandma sent me $40 for my birthday. I told our church, I said, about the meeting that they had and the vote they had taken, and they're going to help buy the Mustang. I found a Mustang for $14,000. It's the last 04, it's the last Mach 1 they made. So anyway, those kids gave over $500. But they prayed in $10,000. I told our church, you're going to be surprised what they give. You'll be more surprised what they pray in. They can get a hold of God. They don't have all the sin that you're carrying in your life. They can get a hold of God, and they can move heaven. Well, they did. Well, the little boy I was telling you about, Levi, I went ahead and bought the Mustang, borrowed the money. Betty and I, one Saturday, I said, let's pray that God will give us the money to pay that Mustang off. So on Saturday, we started praying, Lord, would you help us get this thing paid off? Sunday morning, the next day, Shana Seitz comes in, the mother of Levi and Haley that got killed in that wreck, and said, Pastors, Levi wanted me to give this to you, and I keep forgetting it. And she handed me a little sandwich baggie that Levi had put this money in his piggy bank for the Mustang ministry. It was like $20.18. We prayed Saturday, helps get it paid off. Sunday morning, Levi gave $20.18. I told our church about this. Sunday night, a lady came and handed me an envelope and there was $3,000 in it. Wednesday night, one of the men came and said, how close are you to paying that off? I said, about $1,800. He said, consider it paid. Saturday, we asked the Lord to help us pay it off. Sunday, Levi, who was dead now about a year and a half, I guess, or a year or so, and Wednesday night, it is paid off. But it started with a little four-year-old boy that had been dead for about a year. Listen, we're living in exciting times when things happen, and God's got things for us. In the book of Esther, the king had given orders to kill the Jews, and we read in Esther that Mordecai sent word to Esther to go to the king and ask him to spare the Jews. She sends word back and said, you can't just go in there when you want to, you'll be killed. Esther chapter 4, verse 13, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shalt their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou shalt come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther was there. She had a divine appointment. It wasn't just by chance that she happened to be there. Then Esther bade them return to Mordecai the answer, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days, 3 days, or nights, and I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. It was a divine appointment. God has some divine appointments for you, and you need to recognize them. All of us are a special creation, and God wants all men to be saved. And God wants all men to follow His plan for our lives. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Listen, I had no idea, no one had any idea, and I'm still being amazed. Just recently, this is a little, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. It's a card we got at Easter time. Now, how would this happen? But it says, Dear Pastor Roach, may you and your loved ones enjoy a blessed Passover and a joyous resurrection week. I'm praying for you in God's love, Brother David. Then he sends me this. It says, Dear Pastor Roach, I pray in Jesus' name that you and your loved ones and everyone at your church has a blessed Passover season and a joyous resurrection week. We are both fighting the good fight of faith by the grace of God. Him and I. And we already have the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 57-58. God bless you and my love in Christ to all. May the Holy Spirit draw many to salvation throughout the state of Alaska. In God we trust, Brother David Berkowitz. Some of you don't know who David Berkowitz is. David Berkowitz sent me some gospel tracts. It's called Son of Hope, but in the shadow behind hope, the shadow of the word hope is Sam. David Berkowitz was known as the Son of Sam. This came from Fallsburg, New York, Solomon Correctional Facility. He is in prison for 365 years. He murdered 13 people in New York City. He terrorized New York City. He would go around and find young men and women parked in cars and kill them both. He would find people, his cat at one time told him, or his dog, he had a dog I think it was telling him who to kill. He was possessed of the devil. He was a serial killer. People today, I've witnessed to troopers, Alaska State Troopers, and give them the Son of Hope tracks, and they saw that David Berkowitz. I mean, they instantly knew who he was. How could a serial killer end up saved and same way you did? But how could he be serving God same way you do? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You know, you say, how could Stan Roach, born in Grafton, West Virginia, the kid, you know, choking the principal and just, you know, how could I end up talking with, now it was a miracle that I wasn't with David Berkowitz. But how could that happen? It was a divine appointment. I've got a gospel tract called From Mercenary to Missionary. That tract, Brother R.B. Ouellette. Brother Ouellette put an article in his paper about our ministry in Alaska, and he put the part of the Mercenary to Missionary tract in there. The Sword of the Lord called and asked if they could print that article in the Sword. So he calls that. I said, yeah, go ahead. I don't care. So he put it in the Sword of the Lord. David Berkowitz, sitting in prison doing 365 years reading the Sword of the Lord, read this. Oh, Stan Roach. Read the track. Sent me a letter, and he said, I read your track in the Sword, and it was just so encouraging to me because you and I were heading down the same road, but you met Jesus before you went over. I didn't. He got into the occult just for fun. The only difference in my own testimony and David Berkowitz, I stopped right here. Dave Berkowitz went over. These just divine appointments. Divine appointments. I sent him a letter and I said, you know, you remind me of the Apostle Paul. Paul was a serial killer. You read in your Bible, it says that he slaughtered the disciples of the Lord. But he had the church behind him. He had, you know, he had the government behind him at that point in time. But, you know, God has a divine appointment for all of us. Every man, woman, every child has an assigned task in this life designed and designated by God. God has people for you to lead to Him. God has people for you to encourage along the way. And only you can do it. God has a place. God had, and his plan is for all of us to reach our generation. I'm trying to reach my generation. I want to reach your generation what I can, because my generation is starting to die off. But your generation is dying as well, so I want to do what I can. Now, you're going to be around a lot longer than I am, and you're young. A lot of young people, they don't listen to you, they won't listen to me. See, they think, I don't know anything, but you do. Well, and you need to reach them. I'm talking about divine appointments. Acts 13:36, where David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. His body went back to the dust of the earth. But he followed God's will, those divine appointments that God had, reaching his own generation. And you and I need to do the same thing. You know, as you grow in awareness of God's will, God's presence, you begin to understand this wasn't by chance. It wasn't by chance. We had a friend in Nigeria, Joseph Onikiku. He was a witch doctor. He would tear the heads off of chickens and sprinkle the blood on the altars. And he couldn't cut his hair. He couldn't comb. He couldn't bathe. And he said, I'd tear the heads off them chickens, and they're flying around. He said, blood's all over me in my hair. He said, I stunk so bad. And he said, I couldn't bathe. I couldn't do anything because I'm the village witch doctor. And I have to kill these chickens and make sacrifice for people's sins. A missionary came to his village. Joseph sat in the bushes outside a grass hut in Africa, heard the gospel, got saved, became a new creature in Christ, ends up at Tennessee Temple. I went to Bible college with him. He's back in his own country now. I mean, just, you know, there's been thousands of people saved. It was a divine appointment. Joseph, I want you behind this bush, and I want you to listen to what that guy's saying. And he's over, he can't go in. Hiding in the bushes. That was a divine appointment. That missionary that was in there talking, he didn't know he was talking to Joseph Onikiku, a village witch doctor hiding out in the bushes. But he was. But it was a divine appointment. It was a divine appointment. Not all calamities in life are God's fault. Much of it is just simply a result of ignorance and disobedience to divine law. But don't put everything off of just chance that happened. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Remember all that happened to Job? God allowed all that. He lost his whole family. That was a divine appointment. It was God that gave Satan permission to take his family. I mean, the boils and all that he went through, it was God who gave permission. Why didn't the devil kill him? Because God told the devil, you don't take his life. You take whatever you want. Take what he has. And the devil said, you take what he has from you, he'll curse you to your face. And God said, go ahead and do it. I know, Job. In all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Yet, many of us see difficulty in every opportunity. But we should see opportunity in every difficulty. Things are going bad. Well, praise God, there's something for you. Listen, I got this degenerate disc disease. This morning I got up, I was doing great, and I mean, I felt good, it hits you. We came in here a while ago. I felt good. I was walking. We went down. We were talking to some folks out here. And then we started, it hit me. And I sat down, I mean, this pain hits me, and I just break out in a sweat. Now listen, God has a purpose for that. You know, Marines are tough. Ain't nothing bothers a Marine. Pain is weakness leaving the body. I am getting so strong. Listen, we need God. We need God in everything, but every opportunity, we need to understand that we have divine appointments in our life. And don't say, well, you know, all the things that happened to me in the past. Maybe some of you come from a broken home. And well, we know that God wasn't in that, but God had a purpose in that. Amen. There was a purpose. and to make you the kind of a dad, the kind of a mom, the kind of a husband, the kind of a wife that you ought to be. We had a young lady in church last night that we got her when she was 14 years old. And her dad and mom divorced, and she just cried and wept. And I said, look, Vicki, you can't help what happened at home, but you can help what's going to happen to your home. Well, now she's doing the same thing we did for her. She raising two of her nieces, and she's trying to do everything that we had done for her. And her and her husband just celebrated their 20th anniversary. Listen, there's a lot of people in this world. Some they call wishbones, wishing that someone would do something. Then there's the jawbones, who talk about somebody doing something. Then there's the knucklebones, who knock everything anyone's trying to do. But then there's the backbones, who get under the load, do the work, and alter the course of history. Remember that one person that changed McDonald's? Now they're going to sell little sodomite toys because one person stood up for what is wrong, stood for evil. What could God do with the potential setting in here today if you would stand up for what is right? Well, no one else does. One man changed McDonald's. Listen, you can alter and change history. The world has never seen what God can do with a completely solid, 100% sold-out child of God. A lot of guys want to do that to get a big name. They'll write books about me. No, they won't. But when you do things because you love God, to make God look good, not to make you look good. You know, when I got this Corvette ministry, I said, Lord, I want to do this for your honor and your glory, not for mine, not for them vehicles. Those vehicles are just something we use to win people to you. You know, very seldom, we put them in car shows all the time. That vet doesn't win a lot of trophies and a lot of... But the message goes out. I don't win first place. But I get first place when it comes to soul winning. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of gospel tracts about that Vietnam vet that goes out. But it's not about the Vietnam vet. It's about Jesus. And listen, we need to understand. We need to have a new vision of God's divine appointments, a new awareness. We need to understand that how God intervenes, brings things to pass. We need to have an unwavering confidence in God's ability to navigate us through life. You're praying about who to marry. God will show you. I don't want to marry the wrong one. God will show you. God will show you. We need to be like David, who served his own generation. And you've got a divine appointment today. Don't be late for it.